trust me.
Well, I seem to be in a rather unique little predicament. I cannot connect to Reepso with Sam, and I can't connect to Pulse Radio with Firefox. So, I am really not sure what to do here today. Okay, well that's why. For some odd reason, it's trying to get me in as FTP. So, let's try... Why is it... is absolutely pushing FTP. I'd love to be able to FTP in, but Lee will never get off of this fat British ass and tell me how to do it. So, sounds like it's doing better anyway. Yes, I'm not exactly very keen on Pulse Radio anymore because I can never get a hold of the fucking owner. And I try. I try messaging him constantly. The only reason I'm still doing it is because that's where everybody expects me to be. Hey, Cody. How am I coming through? Am I choppy? Because I'm online in today. I know it will take you a moment to answer, but... please let me know, because I never did listen to last week's, but I'm going to keep trying it and make sure nothing worked, or make sure nothing works, make sure it's working. So I can't connect to Reepso Radio this week. I'm letting it go. It says disconnected, but sometimes all it will do is it will keep recording, whether or not it's connected or not. The moment I start the stream, it's recording, so let's hope to God for that. Otherwise, I got a lot of editing work to do. So, I have had just a shit week. Really, I have. Keep me logged in apparently doesn't mean much to Facebook anymore. Is not going to be on right now. No, he isn't. Why am I not surprised? Anyway, let me... so, yeah, I'll just put the link to... and we'll see if we can get someone but other than Cody in. I don't know, maybe my dad will come in. We'll see. Reepso Radio is turned off. Yeah, see, that's... okay, let's try something. I don't want to do this, but I don't have a choice. We got two people, we got two people listening. I don't know who person number two is. I've disconnected Reepso Radio, so I'm only encoding on the one. Let's see if that prevents the choppiness. If it doesn't, I'll switch over to mic quick. They're both sound inputs, so it won't do anything. So, I don't know what's going on there. Music for opening up was from Uncle. It's called Follow Me Down by Sleepy Sun. It's the video version. Well, apparently that was me. I don't know. It was the video version, which is why they had a little break in there on live feed. I'll take it out for the podcast. I have to open it up anyway, because thanks to Reepso Radio not working, now I have to convert Pulse Radios, which will never get listened to it anyway, because Lee's a fat fucking slob who cannot get on Facebook to do anything other than post about fucking football, or soccer, or whatever the hell you call it. Yes, I'm pissed. I thank Lee every day for getting me back into it on Pulse Radio in January, because it's done a lot for me. I've done a lot better since I've been on it again. But on the flip side, come on. I've been trying for 2 months now to IM him to get me some way for us to connect so I can upload the shows I'm doing. And he will not do it. I mean, I understand at this point in time it's late for him. That's why I send Skype messages. That's why I send Facebook messages. So he can respond to me when he's awake. He won't do it. So, yeah, I'm on Pulse Radio because Pulse Radio is where people expect me to be. So, what the hell is that? Oh, that's right. Wait a minute. What is that? I was trying to look up something and something completely unrelated showed up, and now I'm trying to figure out what the fuck it is. What is this? Don't remember this. Let me look at it later. So yeah, don't expect much from me. I know that's been something I've been warning lately, but that's the truth. Ever since I dropped out of theater, or theater dropped out of my life, I would guess would be a better way to say it, because I'm still in the theater. No, it's not a surprise, Tentacle Sex Code. If it were that, I'd be a lot happier about what I was looking up. It's something from Second Life's version of Amazon.com. For some odd reason, it came up when I was typing finite exposure, of all things. But looking at it now, it's not bad. It's probably not something I'll wear very much, because there's not much to it. I'll put in a link so you can understand what I'm talking about. I'll probably put the link on the thing too, just because I've been talking about it. It's an outfit. Some people, because my name is Spider, not spelled Spider, but it's pronounced Spider, send me Spider-related things, which is fine, because Spider, the way I have her, has a lot of Spider-related, like, clothing and whatnot. And I just think it's a cute little play on words. But apparently, so I don't know if I looked this up, if I found this by looking it up, or somebody sent it to me, or what, but apparently I found a little, it's a suit by somebody called MW called the Spider Lady. And it's a trampy thing. But in where I play in SL, that's pretty much common dress. So it's just, it's actually pretty tasteful. And it is spider themed, I mean, to the hilt. I'll probably end up getting it at some point. But I don't know. I do not have my. Oh, it's only 50 linden. Oh, well, fuck it. Oh, somebody foobarred in big time. The price says 50 linden. The ad says 450. Guess who's taking advantage of this? Somebody forgot the 4, in other words, and just saved me a crap load of money. And that happens. I mean, that's one of the problems with using this thing. So, by now, and when I log on after the show, it will be waiting for me. Yeah, purchase MW the Spider Lady, copy/mod, some prim, apparently you can't edit all of it, but you can edit some of it, for 50 linden dollars, and even in the tag it says 450 lindens. Oh, I swear I know this person, though. Midnight Childs. I wish that they said when this was listed. because that is really something that, I mean, granted, it's a spider thing. There probably aren't many people that will look at it, probably fewer that will buy it. So, and she's got a fuckload of stuff. 80, 132, holy crap. She's got like three, she's got well over 200 things on SL, so. Women's Heaven and Hell costumes? They have a, why would they have a section for that? That's, yes, they are getting very, very specific, apparently, on, Wairu! Hey, Wairu! Found a video of a kid singing all the parts of the Pokemon theme song, even the acoustics. Pokemon theme song's actually kind of fun to sing. I couldn't do much more than just the thing, though. I like the Pokemon theme song. I don't really like the show, but I like the theme song. I want to see the full I think it's a neat little thing. Like I said, I bought it just because it was a horrible price, FUBAR, but I doubt I'll wear it much. But it's just kind of fun. But Pokemon, then I'll get to Finite Exposure, which, Wairu, we need you listening to that one, too. I'll post the link here for you. I'm actually just going to post links today. Fuck it, there's only two of you. I don't think anybody's going to bitch. So, yeah, look at the names of all these people that show up. It's like, come on, folks. We can get some of you back in here. But, yeah, we're, Pokemon theme song. The one thing I'd like to see on Pokemon, honestly, and this is me, and there's a couple of reasons for this. Number one is it involves one of my favorite Pokemon, and the second is because it's been banned. I don't know what the name of the episode is, but it features Porygon, which is the only computer-based Pokemon, as far as I know. I don't know, it was supposed to cause people seizures or whatnot. Well, I sat and I watched it like 5 times in a row, and I have a seizure disorder. So, and I never had a problem with it. And I want to see it now, because Porygon is not the most interesting Pokemon, okay? It's all defense. Porygon is the definition of a tank. A tank in combat being something that can adapt to take a lot of damage, or negate a lot of damage. And Porygon, that's what he does. He has, I can't remember what the name is, but his ability is to change into the type of Pokemon that's attacking him. If it's a grass Pokemon, he'll become a grass Pokemon. Poison for poison, you know, fire for fire. That way it lessens the damage they can do, unless they have a natural weakness to themselves, which does happen from time to time. But I cannot remember what the name of it was, and I've got a couple of Porygon cards floating around somewhere. Yeah, Chaos knows what it is. See, the problem is, I've seen part of it, the part that supposedly caused it to be banned. I cannot find that full episode anywhere, and I want to see it. I mean, just for it. I mean, the other Pokemon that I really like, Computer Soldier Porygon. Thank you. Yes, and correct me if I'm wrong, Chaos, is he the only computer Pokemon? I want to say so. Soldier Porygon. Oh, oh my god, I think they actually have, it's on something called Kids Tube. So there's another tube with YouTube and ZooTube. Yes, actually there are two ZooTubes, so I'll let you decide which one that I was unfortunate to discover first. Slow down so you do not get a seizure. Oh, it's okay. It's not the episode. It's just a clip. Fuck. Oh well, Cody. There's your job. Or chaos. God damn it. Well, you're kidding. Well, no. Well, Porygon 2, and then it's got a baby form too. I'm not counting that because that's technically the same Pokemon. I'm talking, is there another completely separate computer one? The beginner Porygon and Porygon 2 are all the same thing. They're just a different evolution. It'd be like saying Abra and Alakazam are different Porygons. Porygon Z. That's the same thing, though. It's like saying that Abra and Alakazam are different Pokemon. Well, they are, but they're not. They're just different stages of the same one. So Porygon 2, Porygon Z might be the baby. Because I'm pretty certain he has a baby form now. Let's see. Porygon. I can't believe I'm looking up Porygon. In the Bulbapedia, actually, the Wikipedia would probably be better because they list all of his things. By TM, by reading, by tutoring. Where? Yeah, I'm pretty certain that they're all the same one. But why in the fuck can't I find him now? Okay, Porygon Z. Let's see if we can find him. Oh, that's the flying thing. Yeah, I don't really like the look of that one. Is the pre-evolved form a Porygon? So that's the baby. So it goes Porygon Z, Porygon, and Porygon 2. Yeah, so they're all the same one. What does Porygon 2 look like? I can't remember. Oh, he's just thinner. I like Porygon. I like how he looks. What was the episode called? Computer Soldier Porygon. Which I will find somehow. It looks like live video has one. 38, he was introduced pretty early then. Oh crap, it's in Japanese. Okay, pause. That's going to take a while. And it isn't in subtitles either. You know, I wonder if they were smart, because what they did with Outlaw Star, when, JP, hello! No. Why do you ask if I'm broadcasting from an airport, JP? But, what Outlaw Star did, and I can't remember. It was the Hot Springs episode. They wouldn't air it, which sucks because it explains a couple of things, as usual. And it has a funny running gag involving a snowball. And it has the Wile E. Coyote ninja in it that just tries and tries and tries to, you know, catch our good guys and just keeps getting... No, I'm not... Why are you... Okay, JP, why are you asking this? You've got me concerned now, because according to Chaos, I was starting to sound fine again. So, unless maybe it's picking up my, could be picking up my laptop fan, but didn't think it was that bad. Hey, JP, since you're here, take a note to Lee, tell him to get off his fat ass and contact me. Yeah, I know you have Outlaw Star on my computer. I've got it on DVD. So, but seriously, tell him to get off his fat ass and talk to me. I'm sick to death of that bastard not answering me, and I've been leaving him messages for a month now, trying to figure out how to upload new shows. He will not answer me. So I'm a bit pissed at him. I'm only on here because this is where people go. So, but if he doesn't answer me soon, he's going to be losing someone, because I have to be able to talk to somebody. If they're going to say that they're going to host my stuff, I need to be able to get it to them. I haven't given them a new show in over a month. So, please, you can probably get a hold of him faster than I can, because he won't answer me at all. So, it's unfortunately, if he's gotten his feelings hurt, then he needs to stop typing in something that... He needs to type in something on Facebook that isn't about sports. That's all there is to it. Because, whoop-de-doo, he's getting his exercise. He's letting his radio station go to fucking pot, because I can never answer him. If it's because I don't come in, it's because I don't come in. I've found other things to do. So, if that's the case, I'll leave. But please let him know. He has me on Facebook. There's no reason for him to be this fucking lazy. Well, he's gone. Bye. Sorry. I'm gonna be a dick. I'm sorry. I think it's completely unconscionable that he will let me sit and flounder like I am. So, I have no sympathy. Okay, now let's get to finite exposure. And I have those two completely backwards. So, finite exposure episode 2. And yes, chaos. Of course, you know about Waru. This is why I posted the link in so far long ago. We just got done with episode number 2. And so it's... This is the episode I knew we had in us, and this is what should have been the 0.5 or mark or episode 0.1 or whatever the hell the first one was called, and then episode 1. This one took us 4 hours, or damn near 4 hours. And this is the one since we did the last show in March that I knew we could do, because we just went on forever on that show. So, it was fun to do. It really was. I love talking with Chaos, because he and I, he'll rattle on and he'll blabber on as much as I will. And granted, he's a little bit more likely to interrupt me than I am to interrupt him, but that's fine. Because he also usually can put his thoughts together faster than I can. So that's fine. While he's sitting there, ramble, 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 I'm catching up and I'm getting my opinions going. So it works. So that's all that really needs to be, you know. As long as it works for us, that's fine. But I don't know. It's just, we're having trouble having Close enough. Back on Pokemon a second. This Pokemon, I think, counts. Rotom, an electric ghost type that changes into various appliances. You know what? Close enough. It's at least another electric that is kind of cool. I'd like to get the card for him, too. And while we're at it, since we're back on it, my favorite electric is Magneton. I just like Magnemite and Magneton for some reason. They're like the ultimate electric Pokemon. They're magnets, basically. I just think they are so cool. They were in the Grimer episode. It was funny as hell, too. So, but yeah, the only problem we have with finite exposure is the same problem we have, or I have, on Rendell's Ravings. We don't have a set format yet. We basically just continue to hop around, and that's, I guess, you know, we keep it interesting, we keep it going, which is the good thing. But the bad thing is that we never seem to have a path that we're going down, so to speak. We don't seem to have any solid idea, basically, until we start, of where we're going. But that's just the problem, that we don't see each other until game day, basically. We don't sit and talk about the show on Facebook or wherever. We just talk about it when we get together. So, until we can find a way around that, it's going to stay a mess, but at least it's a fun mess to listen to, I think. So, oh man, I've been talking a while, but you know what? That's good, because I don't have anything to talk about today. Greetings from Nowhere. Have not listened to it yet, but the title is Greetings from Nowhere Goes International. They picked up their first international listeners, one from Canada and one from Australia. So congratulations go to Christina and Nicole, because trust me, I don't remember when the first time was I realized I had international listeners. But it really made me happy when I realized that I was getting so popular overseas, and now, out of a little bit of a spoiler here, of the 392 downloads that I had this week, only 5 came from the U.S., so 387 downloads across the world, and 163 of them from China, and 110 from Beijing. So, it confuses me. I don't know why I'm so popular over there, but it makes me feel good. So, I understand the thrill of finding out that you've broken away from home, so to speak. So, but yeah, I'm proud of them. They do such a good show. Their last one that I heard was Father's Day. Good show. I'll say that. It was a Father's Day show. It was them talking about their dads and about happy memories. So probably not a show for everyone, but at the same time, it was there, you know? It was what people would expect them probably to talk about at that point. So, anyway, one thing I'm going to talk about here is, damn it, well, too late to go back now. This is something from the Philadelphia Atheism Examiner, and I tried to avoid an atheist publication on this because I don't want people to think that I'm following Reap. Not that that's a bad thing, but I wanted it to be a neutral, like the New York Times or something. Something that was just kind of a more of an open venue on it. But hey, it does give a good argument, which is good, you know, that's what the whole thing ultimately was about, was the argument. Fuji Minx, who is a lady, I liked the Facebook page for Fuji Minx and commented, and then she requested to add me as a friend. So I am actually friends with the singer. Now I just got... And apparently, it's Polly So's birthday today. So, hello, Polly. Happy birthday. We'll put that up above it. Because he said in an hour and 30, and that was yesterday, so... Where's it? And I'll link to her. Is it today? Yep, it's her birthday today. So, happy birthday, Polly. Anyway, back to the, back to Fuji Minx. And I'll link to them on Facebook. Basically, the deal is, there's a song, and I'll play it when we're done. I played the comparative song as the bumper. That was why I played Uncle's song. There's a song called Music Made Me Do It, and the video has been banned from YouTube. Now, people are of mixed feelings about this. Some people say it's because it has a message against the Pope. Well, I don't know about that. I mean, that's not all that big of a thing. And it's not because of my, it's not because I'm agnostic. It's just because it's a statement. It's freedom of speech. Okay, so that's... And it's not that big of a statement either. I mean, it's... Honestly, I'm not trying to discount it. I'm just saying there's not anything really there to be worried about. One scene, she shoots the Pope with, like, a Nerf dart gun. Well, who the hell hasn't shot somebody's picture with a dart gun or thrown a dart at it or shot at it? I mean, come on. Been jokes about that for years. So, I don't think that's the whole deal. Then there was nudity. Because I don't know if they posted the uncensored version or... So, what? Oh yeah, that's right, okay. But the uncensored version is very tame. You see, the lead singer is topless, so you can see her breasts, but in the scenes where you can, she's wearing body paint. I mean, complete... almost like a blackish-gray body paint. So, yeah, you can see your breasts, you can see your nipples, but they're completely black, okay? It's not like she's standing there spread-eagle completely naked in front of the camera. It's just not, so I don't see the issue with it. Maybe, like I said, you know, part of it, I think, is just that as far as... As far as nudity goes, I am probably horribly tuned out to that, just because, come on, you know, it doesn't make any difference to me. So, I've been on the internet for 16 years, I've seen a hell of a lot of pornography. I'm not gonna lie. I mean, why should I? When I got on, I was a 21-year-old single white male. What the hell else was I gonna use the internet for? I didn't have school. So, music sharing wasn't as big a deal in the late 90s, mid to late 90s as it was. There was chat, there was email, and there was pornography. That was it, basically. And I'm not trying to, make it sound stupid, but it was. There was very little for you to do on the internet when I got on it. So, it's just one of those deals. I just kind of went with what happened. And I don't know. It just kind of, I guess it's kind of like the big thing they say about violence. It desensitizes you. The more porn you watch, the more desensitized you are to it. I can watch a hell of a lot right now. I mean, people will go to me saying, oh, this is gross. And yeah, maybe it is gross. But it's, unless it's what they call a deviant sexual act, it doesn't do anything for me. I've seen so much that this is the biggest thing I could say for showing sex instead of violence. I would rather have somebody desensitized to sex than to violence, personally. Because, I mean, we've seen what happens when you desensitize to violence. Nothing. It just makes people more violent. If you desensitize them to sex, maybe sexual crimes will drop. Maybe the birth rate will drop. We sure as hell could do with that. I don't know. But anyway, this guy who was sunned, I closed that out. Why did I do that? Go and grab the link again. This guy went on YouTube, and I don't know how he found this band, or how he found this. Let's see who it was written by. It was on the examiner.com, and it's listed as apparently it's a little thing that goes out to everybody. Stax Roach, or Rush. That is a strange name. He wrote about this, and he said that the other thing they do for the Pope is they have a picture with him with the word confess. And that's most likely in line with the altar boy scandal, which is still getting. That is nothing that is single to her. That's something that everybody has been doing for years now, since Pope John II. Or Pope John Paul II, they were talking about this before he died, because it was just gearing up. And ever since, it has been one of the main marks against Benedict, because he won't talk about it. So, he poo-poos it. So, I mean, you know what? It's nothing, it goes back to the porn thing, it's nothing that I haven't heard or I haven't seen hundreds of times before. So what's the big deal? Well, going back to nudity, like I said, Fuji Minx in this, because I'm guessing that's what she calls herself. When she's in this, yes, she is bare-chested. Yes, you can see her breasts, yes, you can see her nipples, but she is literally covered in very dark black or very dark gray body paint. So it's not like they're right there. You have to look pretty hard to be able to see them. So, whereas Uncle, Follow Me Down featuring Sleepy Sun, which I will say is a very, very nice song. I like it. Only reason I got it off of YouTube instead of Amazon is Amazon doesn't have it. But the video is 5 minutes, almost 6 minutes long. I think about a minute on either end is filler. And I'd say at least 2.5 to 3 minutes, you're seeing a lady very scantily dressed. She looks like she came straight out of Los Angeles. And you can see her breasts very plainly for a good majority of this video. But it's still up because somebody flagged it, but they kept it up. It's just that it has a warning before you hit it. Well, why the hell couldn't they do that to Fujiminx? Because Fujiminx, I'm sorry, as far as nudity, is way the other side of the scale of Uncle. Both very good songs, but just really, you know, and I listened, I got the lyrics, I've read the lyrics, there's nothing about the Pope in the lyrics. The problem is with the video. And she just posted a couple of days ago that iTunes has committed to allowing the video on iTunes. They have a written agreement that the video will be allowed on iTunes. And I can almost guarantee, I know where part of that came from, was the Mark Fiore problem with iPhone, where they denied him for an app because of ridiculing public figures. So they don't want to do that twice in a row. So they're taking the one-shot deal over the constant barrage, in a sense. Oh, and I put that in the wrong spot. I'm not doing too good today. There we go. So I'm going to take a break because I've been talking for 45 minutes and I'm way off schedule now. Here's Fujiminx with The Music Made Me Do It. And that is Fuji Minxin. I'm going to try and get some more of their stuff, but I can't afford it this month, but hopefully before I go. I think they've only got one actual album. And it is on Amazon, and it is on MP3, which is how I get all my albums now. And that's not because I don't like CD or vinyl or cassette. It's just because I listen now on my headphones. And that's how I get stuff via MP3, because that's what my MP3 player obviously can play, and that's what I use to listen. It's a whole $8.99. It's called Users Cheaters Theaters. So I know I'm going to be getting it. And I didn't get it from Amazon. The music made me do it. You can download off of Amazon for 89 cents. I got it off of their website because it was pay as you want. And I gave them $5 for it. I mean, I could have bought it five times for that. Six times for that. But I just thought that the video, the statement, the music was just wonderful. So why not? I was supporting an artist. And I think she's a very good artist. So, at least on the basis of that song. I haven't heard any of their other stuff yet. Most of their stuff is live, and I don't go with live because, as I found out with the rap show here a little while ago, you can't do that because live sounds so much different than on tape. So if you like something live, that's good. Don't expect it to sound the same on tape, because it can't unless it's a recording of a live show, and specifically the one that you were just at. So I'm really tempted to just slide into the next one, because it took so long. We'll talk about one thing here, and this really threw me. And I just didn't know how to react to it. Remains of 72 people found at the World Trade Center site. Yes, there are still bodies at the World Trade Center site, if you can believe it. I don't get it. I mean, wouldn't you think that by now they would have dug through that so thoroughly? And I'm sorry, guys, are you talking? Oh, yeah, I've been talking. That's good. That window up. Apparently, because of the construction that they were doing, they weren't able to go and and yet again, it was a fairly good-sized article, and now it's shrunk. "37 remains were found from material underneath West Street, a highway on the west side of Ground Zero. The new debris was uncovered as construction work made new parts." They couldn't physically reach it until they basically dug their way over there. But what took them almost a decade to do this? I mean, we're coming up on the 9-year anniversary of 9-1-1. Why did it take... Oh, Jesus Christ, this is even worse. "The city began a renewed search for human remains in 2006. More than 1,800 remains have been found. Some have been matched to previously unidentified 911 victims." Why do they need to draw this out so bad? I grant you, the World Trade Towers were fucking huge. They were some of the tallest buildings in the world. But after 10 years, or after almost 9 years, we're still finding stuff? And it took them 5 years to start looking? That just reeks of trying to keep the thing in the news. I mean, that thing should have been uncovered, cleaned away, and started to be rebuilt in this amount of time. I don't get it. There's a picture. And I'm not sure. When it was taken, I'd have to assume that it was taken after the fall, but after hearing this, I'm not so sure. So, anyway, let's move on, because that just proves how fucking stupid America is. I haven't read these two, but I just thought that they sounded interesting. An iPhone wish list looks more like an Android features list. The Android is the new Verizon phone, which I wouldn't mind having one of, but it just is far too expensive. It's like $400 or something. What do iPhone users want most? According to the results of a survey released today, the top four things that U.S. iPhone users want most are already available from Google's Android. Okay, it's Google. I think they're working through Verizon, though. Because they call it, I've seen the Droid commercials before. Chaos, help me out here. Is Droid Verizon? I want to say so. A survey conducted by interactive research firm Vision Critical lists a choice of wireless network, 39%, as the number one thing smartphone buyers in the U.S. most like to have in the Apple iPhone. Android services, of course, are available. Android devices, of course, are available across multiple wireless carriers, while the iPhone can only be used without jailbreaking on AT&T in the U.S. Okay, so it is. It's not only on Verizon, it's on quite a few things, I guess. Also on the list, a 4G network. I've never even heard of that. 38%. HTC's Evo 4G for Sprint has hit the market, even if 4G service by Sprint isn't widespread yet. Heard of 3G? 3G network? I'm not sure. An 8 megapixel camera. What the fuck do you need that for? HD's Evo 4G Android Incredible both have an 8 megapixel camera. FM radio tuner, 30%. Yep, Android has one already. Well, guess what? So does my $20 MP3 player. So, interestingly enough, the headline on this survey was centered around the desire for an FM tuner, especially in Canada, where that was the number one item on the iPhone wish list. Royalty agreements have kept Pandora and Spotify, streaming music services that are big in the US and UK, off the devices of Canadian customers. There has been, oh, this is a short article. There have been rumors of Apple enabling a dormant FM tuner on the iPhone and iPod Touch, but it still hasn't been turned on. When and if Apple ever does announce an FM tuner for the device, the company is sure to get cheers for offering something that others have already been offering. Just as iPhone enthusiasts have cheered for things like tethering, MMS support, and cut and paste in the past. Those things weren't new when Apple announced them, they were just new for the iPhone. Ah, here's the full wish list. FM tuner, choice of wireless networks, a 4G network, 8 gig megapixel camera, a larger display, I can see that. Wireless syncing, removable battery, that should be at the top, I think. A physical keyboard, yeah, well, that's more of a phone thing. And none of these. Yeah. That's, I want a keyboard on because I do text every now and then, and I'm sure I'll be texting while I'm on the train just so I can save money. But it's rather hard to do when you just got the 12 button pad. So I would certainly go for that, and I've actually been looking at some smartphones or whatever they're called, because I, the thing thing was, the way I got my phones before was I bought them, but I didn't pay cash. What I did was I went and I billed it to my phone, to my actual phone line. And I don't have a phone line through them anymore, so I don't think I can do that anymore. I've been tempted to check. Of course, I've also been tempted to just dump it and go straight to track phone. I just need to be able to see. You should just get my model phone. Well, what the hell model is your phone? How much is it? And will you buy it for me? Because if you won't, then sorry, I didn't get it. I'm not trying to be a bastard. I cannot afford a phone right now. So here's the other one that I'll read this one too, because it'll give me a buffer. It'll give me something to do. Microsoft seeks relevance as open source era passes it by. Well, we all saw this one coming. Microsoft's top Frank Shaw recently offered the most fascinating blog post I have seen in some time. It's mostly a collection of numbers meant to show that no matter how big you think other tech companies are, or how important, Microsoft is still the biggest, the IBM of the PC era. It's also, as MG Sigler of TechCrunch correctly notes, a cry for help. A decade ago, there was Microsoft and there was everyone else. A tech journalism site without Redmond Bureau or a clued-in freelance wasn't worth reading. The question was whether progress could happen without Microsoft. The government tried and failed to change that. Open source succeeded where the government could not. Open source has made Microsoft appear from the outside to be a very old company. It's Elvis. Bill Gates has left the building, and like IBM after the Watson era, Microsoft has struggled for an identity beyond that. Ironically, IBM finally found its identity with a lot of help from open source. Linux unified its product lines and let Lou Gerstner transform it into a services company. IBM no longer needs headlines. It has also become a classic Windows and Orphans stock, a company with predictable earnings and dividends, or widows and orphans. It's still a great place to work. My next door neighbor was an IBM lifer when I was a kid, and my best friend from that era became an IBM lifer as well. It's just never going to be sexy anymore, just like Microsoft is never going to be sexy anymore. Welcome to corporate middle age. Microsoft did this to itself. Having raked in all the chips in the PC era, it spread its risk in the internet era. Some of the big bets have paid off, some haven't, but none has paid off the way the original PC bet did. Today's Microsoft is a force in cloud computing, video games, online services, and an enterprise community. But customers are into apps, into social networking, into those higher levels of abstraction. Open source gave companies like Google a chance early this decade. I know that for a man like Mr. Shaw, this is frustrating. His post reads nothing so much as an IBM statement from 20 years ago, back when Microsoft was young, when its chairman was being compared to Sam Walton. It's solid days green in memory. Reading over this list, you may ask, what about Apple? Apple reinvented itself. Apple is young. It's hip. It's now worth more than Microsoft, thanks to Steve Jobs. True, if Bill Gates was Elvis and Steve Jobs is the boss, but even Bruce Springsteen knows that about the wrinkles and the grays. If Microsoft really does want to be young again, it needs to get itself a young entrepreneur with clear vision and bet the company on that vision. But can a company paying regular quarterly dividends of 13 cents per common share really go back to the garage? Maybe it can, but I'm the same age as Gates and Jobs, 55. Would I really want to start over again? No. There are consolations in middle age, and as Bill Gates proves each day, Microsoft should relax and enjoy them. Basically, And this was not what I thought it would be. I thought that this would be a bumper to say, hey, come on, you've had your time, you've done all this, now get with it and start doing things new. And in a sense, that is what he said. But he also, where to go? Oh, there it is. He also said at the end, he kind of tore down his own point. Because now he's saying, well, okay, you've done it, you've grown, you've become successful, stay there. And granted, risk is something very dangerous right now. So maybe it is safer to just stay with what you have and just ignore change. I don't know. We'll see. I'm going to do one. It's close enough to the top of the hour, and I didn't have anything else right now, so zero punctuation in Uncle Jay coming up. Zero punctuation with Prince of Persia, The Forgotten Sands, which Cody will know, or Chaos will know, because we played it on Finite Exposure. I don't know what the word of the day is for Uncle Jay. I haven't listened to it yet, so we'll find out together, won't we?
Well, at least the delayed release of Mario Galaxy 2 is giving me a chance to get through my backlog. Now, just as Roger Ebert's authority on video games is comparable to that of a man who has been trapped in a space capsule for 30 years with a broken Game & Watch, I have little time for films. Apparently, they're like games, but they basically unfold without you having to do anything, like the next logical step for the Final Fantasy series. I'm informed that one relating to Prince of Persia came out recently, and it's shit. I haven't seen it, and never will, but you should never be too proud to prejudge, as my prosecutor used to say. Anyway, by strange coincidence, a new Prince of Persia game came out at around the same time, but Forgotten Sands seems to be consciously trying not to look like something that was rushed out to capitalize on the film, which is a shame because it totally does, and it totally was. So forget about Jake Gyllenhaal's fantastically close resemblance to a swarthy Arabian man. Forgotten Sands' plot is unrelated and is intended to be slotted into canon just after the original Sands of Time game, and as well as the Sand, asks us to forget about Warrior Within, Two Thrones, and that cel-shaded thing. Fucking hell, I am so on board with this plan, Captain Forgotten Sands. Let's set sail for adventure, toot toot! Any chance we can retcon Prince of Persia 3D out of existence while we're at it? Having grown tired of the prince's passive-aggressive sarcastic whining, his dad has sent him to stay with his brother, presumably also a prince, who has his own kingdom, King Sharaman never having been one for dropping subtle hints. I mean, when my parents wanted me to move out, they just stopped cooking me dinner. Anyway, the prince, the other prince that is, not our prince, attempts to stop an invading army by unleashing an evil race of monsters who turn everyone to stone. At least it wasn't your fault this time, but that doesn't mean you're not the one who's going to have to sort it all out. Oh no, what do you think this is? A film? If you're new to my opinions, let me remind everyone that Prince of Persia Sands of Time is, without hyperbole, the greatest work of artistic endeavor in the history of anything. Linear platforming as smooth and flowy as a bar of soap in a deep fat fryer, and writing far above average for video games, the average for video games being somewhere around the mantle layer of the Earth. I suspect Forgotten Sands was built on the same engine as Sands of Time, since it's pretty much the same, but dipped in HD graphics rendering, and the prince gets the power to reverse time again, because that's kind of his thing. Seems like magic time-reversing artifacts are like Tamagotchis in Ancient Arabia. The moment I picked up the controller, I went straight back into the Sands of Time groove, automatically wall-running and jumping and climbing until I went into a trance. And yet, the platforming doesn't flow as well as it used to. I wondered why this game doesn't have a slow-motion power, but it turns out it does. It's just activated all the time. Plus, the camera is a fickle beast that often refuses to rotate far enough to show you what you want to see until you've flattered it with shallow compliments, and the prince's hair and beard make him look like a ventriloquist dummy of Dr. Zaius. Of course, the combat was the worst part of Sands of Time, so Forgotten Sands makes the most of its HD upgrades to introduce crowd-based combat where you must fight off entire high school reunions of sand zombies. There's a terrible attack delay on your part that makes fighting sticky and unwieldy, and attacking a specific priority target among the horde is about as exact a science as using an earth-moving device to pick the raisins out of your muesli. But all the monsters have to spend at least 5 seconds telegraphing their attacks, then filling out a permission slip from head office and waiting 3 to 5 weeks for a response before they can actually hit you, so the combat turns into a fight over the TV remote at the nursing home. The now inevitable RPG elements also let you build up 4 different magic combat spells, but frankly, any experience points sunk into any spell besides the area of effect shockwave attack, you might as well have just blown on sweeties and copies of FHM. Since the game was rushed out for the film and everything, there's also a little variation in enemies, especially towards the end when they're rolling out the same big boss lads every 5 minutes, so the combat overall feels severely token. One time there was an expository cutscene, then a completely meaningless fight with some monsters, monsters, then the cutscene resumed where it left off. I had to laugh because it was basically the game saying, shit, I just remembered I'm a game. The prince in Forgotten Sands is probably the closest he's ever been to how he was in Sands of Time, a cocky aristocrat who somehow draws acrobatic energy from passive-aggressively whinging to himself. So why does he seem like so much more of a prat? Well, he was always a prat, but he also had a significant character arc in Sands of Time in which we learned that he's really an insecure daddy's boy who acts aloof and arrogant because he doesn't know how to express his emotions, and all he really wants is a great big hug. But in Forgotten Sands, we just have all of the sarcastic prick with none of the growth, and we all know the best kind of prick is one with a growth on it. You see, Sands of Time's story was so good because its lead characters and their parallel development are absolutely central to the plot. You can't just take one aspect of that and expect it to perform just as well. It's like playing Castle on a Cloud on a kazoo and expecting people to like it as much as the whole of Les Miserables. I think I must have been a flying squirrel in a former life, as my brain is hardwired to enjoy this sort of platforming, and Forgotten Sands has enough of it for me to find enjoyable by default. The ending's a bit disappointing, especially when it devolves into a series of still images with voiceover in a way that Yodel's hour cinematic budget ran out. Overall, there's just something terribly cynical about Forgotten Sands that makes me uneasy. It's also by the numbers. When the large bull-like enemy was introduced, I instantly paused the game and announced, this enemy will charge at me, but if I dodge out of the way at the last second, it will run into a wall and stun itself. Then I unpaused the game and thus were proven my powers of clairvoyance. It seems like if you've completed a trilogy and, lest we forget, rebooted the fucking thing, going back to mind the last game you were sure was good just isn't very classy, like stealing leftovers from the bins outside an upmarket restaurant and serving them to your dinner guests. Plus it was brought out to capitalize on a film, and films are a load of old cobblers. See, Roger Ebert, that's what it feels like.
Hey, boys and girls, it's time for Uncle Jay Explains the News. Now here's the guy who helps little minds understand big news stories, Uncle Jay.
Hi, boys and girls. Well, I hope you're enjoying the summer and all the summer movies, like the new Twilight movie that's opening. The Twilight trailer features the renowned Movie Mumble Mouth Choir, famous for singing words that you can't quite make out. You know, they should use the Movie Mumble Mouth Choir for other kinds of movies you wouldn't normally expect. It could attract a whole new audience. Well, Uncle Jay's news word for this week is a dangerous one. Candor. Now, this just means saying exactly what you think. And we all start our lives doing that, but the day eventually comes when we'll say something like,
a shirt, Aunt Ethel, a birthday is for World of Warcraft, not a shirt.
And that's when you start to realize that sometimes your candor can get you in trouble. A general named Stanley McChrystal was in charge of the war in Afghanistan, but after he told a reporter that he didn't like some of his bosses at the White House, President Obama pretty much had to get rid of him pretty fast. Now, can somebody ever come back from a big disgrace like that? Yes, but only if the disgrace is big enough can that be done. Now, boys and girls, if you want to see real high-level, state-of-the-art, Hall of Fame lack of candor, here it comes. Supreme Court confirmation hearings. This week, we'll get to see Elena Kagan avoid saying what she thinks to a whole bunch of senators, who will be very annoyed by it, even though they all do the very same thing every Sunday on the interview shows. The hearings are like a very bad movie with a very bad script. They should put the Mumblemouth Choir underneath the hearings. That would help. Now, boys and girls, there are a lot of places in life where is a good thing. You should use it as often as you can. Just remember that old proverb, if you can't say anything nice, your talk radio ratings will probably go up. And now it's time to answer one of your news questions. This week it comes from Sharon in Des Moines, Iowa. Hi, Sharon. Sharon writes, Dear Uncle Jay, I keep seeing magazines and news stories about summer reading. They make me read all year in school. Why would I want to read in the summer? Thanks, Diane. Well, it's true. A lot of the big publications and websites have a summer reading or a summer fiction feature around now, and they each tailor theirs to the particular audience that they cater to. And Sharon, after you've graduated school, I hope you keep reading and enjoy it more. It's really nice to go to the beach on vacation and take in the beauty of nature while you relax on the shore and enjoy a nice novel or biography and just let the story wash over you. Don't forget, you can see more at www.UncleJayExplains.com. Check back every Monday when Uncle Jay explains the news. And remember, A great kid is great news.
And we're back, and we had a little bit of trouble there. I'm hoping that that was with the video. I don't know if you guys heard it. The stuttering there. I'm really hoping that was in the video and that wasn't me, because I was afraid I was going to crash there. Bozo Criminal time. Thanks to Bozo Newshawk, Manny Steglich. Fun name. For sending in today's report from Missouri City, Kansas. Okay, I'm going to call that Misery City, Kansas. I'm sorry. That I'm just being a bastard. Don't mind me. A cop spotted Bozo Robert Benton as he staggered down a street shortly before midnight. The officer talked to our Bozo. He noticed that he reeked of alcohol and marijuana. And when checked, he found the man had a baggie of marijuana on him. The officer placed him under arrest and took him to the police station for booking. That's when the man posed our Bozo question of the week. He asked the officer who was booking him if he could save a little of the marijuana that was being placed into evidence for him. Needless to say, the answer was no. I'll give him a pass on that. I don't think he could have been in his right mind in any shape.
Well, let me think about it. If, as an apparently non-corporeal universal concept, I can think.
Will Durant has the quote of the day today. We Americans are the best informed people on earth as to the events of the last 24 hours. We're not the best informed as the events of the last 60 centuries. Yeah, that's... We're good at short-term memory, I guess. It's me. Okay, good. Thank you. I thought I was going to crash there, so that had me scared. Interesting little thing. Here's some news. I need to do that too. We need to do the podcast notes first. Random listener. South 180th Street, Ed Zorinsky Lake and Recreation Area in Nebraska. Random listener internationalist outside Hernandez, Mexico. First one in Mexico that I don't remember in a while. Total downloads, 392. U.S. downloads, 5. Most downloads country, 163 for China. That's never going to stop. Even if it wasn't for that one, I had 53 downloads from China scattered around. So China's number one, pretty much. Most downloads single. Our L-shaped field is back. U.S. Northwest 120th Street between Brainerd and McGrath, Kansas. Downloaded 2. And Guangzhou, China was 7. And Bottomatic ranked 303. Was on the movers and shakers list twice. The 26th and the 27th of June, which astounded me. And Reapso Radio, I believe it was the 27th, was also on it. So congrats to Reapso. That's the second time we've been on a list together that I'm aware of. Now, to this, this was off the Huffington Post, which I am subscribed to on Facebook. When they post, I generally see what they post. So that's where some of my news comes from because of that, because that's the only reliable news source I have. Supreme Court rules in favor of former Enron CEO Jeff Skilling. Now, basically, the thing here is something called honest services. That's when you do something for somebody, you do it just for that. You don't expect a kickback from it. Well, this guy was getting kickbacks. And that's the problem was, and this now I'm going to take an unpopular view here. I agree with the court on this for one reason. They were implied kickbacks. They were implied mistakes and whatnot. So you never heard that he was... they didn't really have any physical proof of what he was doing, but he was still convicted. I don't like that. You know, if he did it, that's good, but prove that he did it. Because otherwise, if you start doing that with some, you're just going to keep on doing it. And you don't want that. You really don't. What is this? Okay. But yeah, so I'm in favor of that one, and they're talking about, oh, well, if you discount this, then the CEOs will get up and they'll walk off. Well, then you just have to do a better job. I'm sorry. You know, I'll be in favor of that criminal punishment when they can prove it. You know, if somebody went up and said, since I'm a board member, that, you know, I was voting for certain things because people promised me money, and I was brought into court and convicted, even though there was no proof, I'd be a little pissed. Because chaos knows me. I wouldn't do that. So, but if you get enough people saying it enough times and enough people start listening, people are just going to assume. I keep bouncing back and forth, by the way, so if you say something to me, I may not hear it. That's fine. That's fine. I'm just kind of jabbering right now. But yeah, I'm in favor of that because of how it was done. I don't agree with the conviction. You shouldn't be able to convict somebody on something that you cannot prove. I'm sorry, that's just our laws and our courts are set up the way they are for a reason. I know it isn't nice, I know it isn't something all of us like, but that's how it's been set up, so we have to live with that. So, the next one comes from Russell Simmons. It's titled, Democrats Don't Do This. And it's talking about a law going into effect that will affect debit cards, which I will say, granted, I've got a credit card. I've had several credit cards. But let me read. This isn't very long, but let me read this because this will... He can put it a lot better than I can. To the members of the Financial Reform Committee, I worked all my adult life as an advocate for the poor, the voiceless, and the underserved. 2 weeks ago, I came to Washington to meet with members of Congress about my deep concern of the unintended consequences that the Durbin Amendment will have on the poor in America. Since then, I've heard a lot of talk, but I'm increasingly concerned that the central issue, the effect on the most vulnerable in our country, is not fully appreciated by those making the decision. I want to point out what's at stake. Debit cards are the entry point for millions of Americans into the American financial system. Like I said, I agree, I have one myself. Debit cards are what keep the underserved, including minorities, immigrants, the poor, soldiers, veterans, and students, from the claws of payday lenders and check cashers, from humiliating lines to cash their paychecks, and then more lines to pay bills. Debit cards are giving the 80 million Americans who would otherwise go to check cashing and payday stores the convenience and respect that those with credit cards and bank accounts take for granted. This very system is being singled out for attack, just when it should be favored over credit cards. Again, I agree. The reason I agree is because credit cards, you can go over the limit. You can't with a debit card. You use a debit card, you are stuck to how much is in your account. You cannot go over. Credit cards are out of reach for the underserved, and they encourage you to borrow when you shouldn't be. Yet the alternative is being targeted, of course, because you make more money on a credit card. And you can spend more. So, as the owner of a debit card company, I know firsthand how being part of the American economy Excuse me. I know firsthand about how being part of the American economy can change someone's future. However, let me be clear, this is not about my company or me. In fact, this amendment will have comparatively little and possibly a positive effect on my particular business. This is about ensuring that within our desire to create financial reforms, we do not do so at the expense of the poor. I've studied the Durbin Amendment. I've spoken to Congress, congressmen, congresswomen, senators, and their staffs. I've spoken to groups that have no hidden agenda, the community banks and credit unions. They are the good guys in the financial system. I don't work for Visa or MasterCard. I don't give a damn about the profits off the big banks. Regulation is long overdue. I support the Move Your Money campaign to support community banks, credit unions, and specialist providers. That's where my money is right now. It's in Cashmere Valley Bank. Or debit card services. No one has yet been able to tell me how Senator Durbin's amendment will keep the underserved from being hurt by higher fees for the basic service that credit cards provide, or how the amendment will ensure lower prices for consumers. Still not used to talking much. How the amendment will ensure lower prices for consumers instead of bigger profits for merchants. I can't believe financial reform has come down to this. Big retailers and a money grab on the backs of the poor and underserved. Why he can't believe it, I don't know. It's been happening for years. Is this the Democratic Party I know and support? Is this the Congressional Black Caucus, the Hispanic Caucus, the Progressive Caucus, the Obama administration? Where is the fairness in this amendment? The rich keep their interchange subsidy from their credit cards, but the working people, the debit card customer, sorry, you're on your own. I've advocated on behalf of the poor for new language in this amendment that will protect them, and I have received assurance that it will come. However, until I see action behind those words, I will continue to fight for the needs of poor people. I will not let this issue go unaddressed. I will keep it alive in every election until you right the wrongs in this amendment and protect the poor. I am classified as poor. I make a little over $750 a month off of Social Security and $1,500. I make about $9,000 a year off Social Security. And that is it. I mean, Don helps me pay for my bill, for some of the bills, but that's because, like, for cable, he helps me pay for that, but he also gets use out of it. He will help me pay for the phone, but then again, you know, he gets use out of it. So, I have a lot of money that I could be spending elsewhere if I could, but because it is so hard to get on your feet, it just never seems to happen. I don't know, you know, I would like to think at some point that it will. I don't know when it will. I don't know if I'll be around when it does. It would be nice. But, you never know. So those are my thoughts. I fully support this document. I think it is something that everybody needs to listen to. So, we'll see. We'll see what comes out of it, if anything. Last up for the news is BP again. And kind of some good news, actually, this week. Apparently, they have been able to put a cap on oil spill. A fully functioning one, but at least a, and this is a bit long, so basically what happened was the reason why it's been going so bad is they had some form of cap for temporary replacement on it, but something bumped it off. So earlier, they... they were able, with undersea robotic controlled subs, to place this camp or another camp back on. And they said before, when it was working, before it got kicked off, BP said Thursday it was gradually ramping back up to capture about 700,000 gallons a day with the cap, and burning off an additional 438,000 a day using an incinerator ship. So it was doing a very good job, and hopefully it'll be able to slow. I mean, apparently it's leaking elsewhere. It just can't keep everything. But I'm not happy that it's still going. But hey. 700,000 barrels less, I'll take it. It's less I have to worry about. So, yeah, go ahead and look at that. It's just kind of technical stuff. But at least it's under the guise of good news for a change. And Lord knows, in the Gulf, they certainly need it. Last thing I'm going to talk about today, I may go and talk about Second Life a little bit, since I seem to have an hour or a half hour left. I just need to find something to play now, because I didn't expect I'm going quite this long. I saw this in an ad today on Facebook, and I just thought it was really cute, so I'm promoting it. It's called Kitty Harbor. Kitty Harbor is, let's take a look, it's in Seattle, Washington. Their company overview. Kitty Harbor is home base for the Animal Safe Haven Association, or ASHA, founded and tirelessly run by longtime animal care worker Dylan Cosbub. ASHA is a 501c3 nonprofit all-volunteer organization dedicated to the health and welfare of neglected animals in Washington State. ASHA's specific and ongoing mission at Kitty Harbor is the rescue, rehabilitation, and placement of homeless and neglected cats and kittens. And the website is kittyharborseattle.org. I'm linking to the Facebook. I think I'll check their website and see if they have two Facebook. A lot of places do now. If they do, I'll change the link. And I may change the link anyway, because they're thinking, yep, follow us on Facebook, so I'll change the link here. So if you're on Facebook, you can see it. If you're not, no big deal. But just the banner is cute. It's got a cute, aww, it's got some cute kittens. I think these are the ones that got adopted. Aww, it's cute. This is going to be a favorite page of mine, I can already tell. And you can donate via PayPal, which is cool. So go ahead and check that out. I'm trying to think now of something to play. I know I can play, because somebody played it. Betty played it, I think. Betty or Nova, one of the two, played this. They played the Blade song by the Warp Brothers. Now, I found somebody long ago, when I was DJing in Second Life, requested that they play it, or that I play the Blade theme. And they linked me to a club mix. And I used that. And so that was just the one I got. I've never looked for another one. This is the Warp Brothers, it's called Blade. It's the 2005 Club Mix. It's 8 minutes long, but I think it's actually pretty well worth it. And fill in some more time, which we always need space filler. We pay.
War Brothers on the remix. Rocking the bass and the place to be. Come on.
Shake.
Okay, there's one problem with a song that long. You get so used to listening to it that you're not paying attention, and it just kind of sneaks up on you. So, yeah, I almost got caught with my pants down there in not having the song stopping and me not realizing it. Getting everything set up, because once I'm done talking about SL and Spider, then I'll be done for the day. Got all my windows up. Whoop, wrong one. My windows are up. Everything's... Whoops. Everything's all set to go. I just have to upload it, and we'll be done. I'll have to convert it first, so give me about a half hour or so. By 5 o'clock, at the very latest, it'll be up. So, not really sure how to approach Spider, because Spider's had an interesting time this week. She has been dead. She got brought back thanks to Six and Nova, which I was talking about on Finite Podcast, or Finite Exposure. And I went out and got a Trider body made by U8 Solo. And very, very, very beautiful body. It's a mecha drider, or a mecha rack, as she calls it. I love it. I'm still using the base, not the skin, but the drider body. And will be, because I think it's a wonderful thing. And so I'm really pleased about that. But the problem is that I was still a writer. I couldn't do much. So, Six and Nova were talking, and they're pleasure bots. They're sex bots. Nova is the first generation. Six is the second generation. And they were sitting there chuckling about how they needed more of them. Well, here I am. I'm sitting, and I was teasing Nova. And she's like, I told her, I said, yeah, what, you're going to build me one? Build me a sexbot body next? And she did something I guess I should have seen coming, but I didn't. She's like, well, am I? I'm like, well, I don't know. Do you want to? So she did. In story, Spider is the third generation of that bot. Her sexual programming and whatnot are sixes because she's a later generation. The problem is, Six and Nova's personalities were written after their programming, so their personalities mesh well with their programming. Spider's personality was dumped. Her memories and her mind were dumped from her body into the robot, and therefore, she's having quite a bit of a problem because her personality is conflicting with the programming. In fact, that was one thing that, and I had to laugh because it was just such an LA moment. Six saw me, I was in Drider form. She's like, why aren't you humping the mailbox? And I just kind of looked at her like, should I be? And then it just got better. She's like, oh no, actually you should be doing that and jerking off eight guys at the same time. And just kind of looked down and I'm like, damn, I didn't realize I was that flexible. And it started a little problem in that Six, I think, sees Spider as a failure because she isn't following the programming of a pleasure bot, that's just not Spider. Spider, yes, is a sexual creature. It's not that she doesn't have sex, it's just that she isn't open about it. To her, she's still old-fashioned in that way. And I was talking to Six about last night. Apparently, the freedom that Spider has as far as thinking and her personality in general were something that Nova insisted on that Six didn't want me to have. She's like, okay, she wants a pleasure bot, we'll make a pleasure bot. There you go. And apparently it was Nova's insistence that my personality be included, which is raising quite a few problems. So, although Six and I did talk about it last night, and I want to continue talking to her because my problem is, you know, I can have sex as a robot, I can have sex as a driver, I can have sex as anything that you want me to have sex as long as I understand how it works. Okay, sex itself is easy. Whether it's lesbian sex, gay sex, or heterosexual sex, it's easy. You know, the basics are there, the basics don't change. It's just how the body works that's doing it is the thing. And that is where I'm having issues. So, what is that? This is an entirely new thing. Spider has been a drider in some chat or another. You know, I've been on... She wasn't on Virtual Places, I don't think. But she was on Farnet. She was on Les Jardins. She was on... the Furinet, I think. Furnet is... I can't remember what the furry network or whatever it is for Muck is. She was on Tapestries. So she's been a drider wherever she goes since the year 2000. Actually, you know, 99, 2000 is when she was born. She's 11 years old now. And it's only been the past 4 days or so that she's been a robot. And it's just, it's hard to make that jump. So I'm having a lot of trouble with that. But at the same time, one of the things I was joking with Six about last night is I don't suppose I came with a user manual, because one of the things I was really hoping and I was really looking forward to, but we didn't get to do because Nova had to DJ, was that I wanted them to wake up Spider. You know, to go down and say, okay, here you are, here's what goes on, here's how this works. I didn't get that. And because of that, it was just basically, okay, here you are, new body. They didn't tell me anything about it, so I just assumed that it was Spider in a new body, and that as she needed things, they'd show up. So tonight, I'm hoping to talk to Six, and hopefully both Six and Nova. So, because apparently the two had different ideas on what Spider should be, and I'd like to get it from both of them. So, that's, on the topic of her death, I went to a fashion show yesterday because somebody that is a friend of mine on there requested I go. I've never been to one before. I probably won't go to one again unless she invites. It was okay. The dresses and stuff were very well done. Very nice show. We got back... Then I went out and I was trying to spar I've been trying to get my FPS going up. My FPS, or frames per second, on SL doesn't seem to matter where. It's anywhere between 3 and, on a very good day, 7.5 frames per second. I'm told that it's stupidly low, but I can't seem to figure out what is choking it. I mean, even if I went in right now, Angela's not awake, Chris is not awake, Don isn't here, I'm the only computer online, I get maybe 4 or 5 frames per second. Something is throttling the bandwidth to a stupid degree. I think part of it's the router. And unfortunately, I don't have the password. I set up a name and password so nobody could get at it. And that was on my computer, my desktop. Well, my desktop isn't hooked up right now. So what I'm going to have to do, and what I'll probably try and do while I'm waiting for the thing to upload, is I'll connect my desktop, I'll log in, and I save the password on Mozilla. Unfortunately, I forgot to drag and drop that, and so the password is still on that computer. So if I can log in, I can probably set an exception for my firewall to be able to unstick or on throttle, secondly, add an exception to it. And maybe that'll work. I mean, I've got some programs running, you know, I've got Weatherbug. I tried shutting that down, and I've got my graphics completely to zero. I mean, everything is just as bare bone. As bare bone as I can get it. So it's just, it's annoying, but I went out and we were trying to fix it. I said, fuck it. Satellite, which is where we were spawning, was crashing, so me and the girl that I was talking to when it crashed teleported over to my den. Well, I cheated. I used the mini map and I saw there were a lot of dots over by the blood bank, which is out one of the doors. Okay, we'll go out there. And I saw Scarlet and Tan, who are the coordinators, the GMs for the pack, or the werewolf group. They being one of the ones harboring, for lack of a better term, somebody who was involved in Spider's death, Rourke. So I went and followed them over to the den and waited a little bit, then approached. Didn't say who I was because nobody had seen this form yet. But talked to Scarlet, tried to figure out, you know, has anything happened as far as punishment for Rourke? Because the deal was that because Rourke delivered the death blow, the pack would deal with Rourke, and that the pack would deal with Rourke, and they would resurrect me. Well, days went by. Resurrection actually started with Bridget and Tari are handling that. That started Saturday night. I'd been dead a week, pretty much, before they got around to it. Because they were just letting politics get in the way. And so Tari finally said, fuck it, politics are over, and started healing me. Well, I went and I talked to Scarlet yesterday, and she's like, well, the whole reason we didn't do it is because we didn't hear from Michael, who's the one in charge of the situation. Well, Michael predictably said, well, the whole reason we haven't heard anything from the pack. So, and I read the thing, and it's up in the air on who did what. They were arguing a lot when they split up early Sunday morning, it was like 4 in the morning. But then it just seemed to stall. I mean, apparently he went and he was supposed to talk to the Queens, Charissa and Ordorico. I don't know if they never did anything about it. The long and the short of it was, I became a political tool. So, and I don't like that, so. Basically, we just kind of move forward, and Saturday night, Tari and Bridget started in motion something that will help regenerate Spider's body, which is cool. I'm guessing probably next week I'll be out of the stasis and wandering around, because I'll be basically a corpse that's rebuilding itself is what it is. They aren't destroying it. They aren't cloning it. Tari found some cells that were not dead and is basically spurning them to repopulate. She's rebuilding my body from those cells, just starting from the inside out. So it's the same body. It's a corpse right now. It's going to be a living corpse for a while, until all the cells have successfully replicated and built this new body. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be interesting. And the good thing is, it's going to happen when I'm gone. You know, it's going to take like a month or so for her to fully grow. Well, I'll be on vacation at that point. So I can come in as my drier self. I can come in as my, you know, as my lumbering zombie thing self. Or, you know, I can do whatever. Because I won't be able to be on all the time. It'll be a perfect thing because I can just say that I'm still resting. By the time I get back, I'll have been rebuilt enough, I should be able to at least speak. So, you know, that'll be something I can carry on my RP then. We've had a person come on and go off a couple of times now. I don't think that's JP yet. I don't know who that is. Maybe that's the... I don't know. I don't care. But basically, I told Scarlett, look, as far as me personally, I'm not speaking for the group, but as far as me personally, I consider it closed. You know, you're being political, they're being political. As far as me, and I'm the victim in all this, it's done. You guys do what you want to do, but don't bring me into it. I don't want any part of it. And I'm looking to talk to Tempest, who's the other one involved, and tell her the same thing. So, that'll close it out on my end, which, quite frankly, I want it done because I'm just sick of the whole thing. It's been nothing but a pain. So, yeah, that's Spider, and that's my SL stuff, and that's close enough to an hour for me. So, I am going to let you guys go. I will talk to you on Wednesday for my last finite exposure episode for a while, because next Wednesday, not this coming Wednesday, but the next one, I will be en route to Minnesota. I leave Tuesday night, I get there Thursday morning. So tomorrow is my full not this Wednesday, but a week from Wednesday is my travel day. It's 36 hours, 32 to 36 hours to Minnesota by Amtrak. So I'll be, what Cody and I decided is I will post little rants or whatnot. I've also got a new page called Cinch, C-I-N-C-H, which you call up and, that was on my, email, wasn't it? You call up from a phone and you leave yourself a voice message, basically. And it can be any length. They do appreciate it being short. When was that? It was Friday. When was Friday? The 24th? 25th. I cannot find it. I know I got a little thing saying it's... I know I got a little message from them. I just can't remember. Where it came from. Directions. I cannot search it. Okay, well, let's... Anyway, I'll put up the link to it. Ah, here we go. It's not the one I'm looking for, but, that'll get me to where I need to be. Because I think I'm logged in. I think it's one of those ones that connects with your Facebook, so you don't need a full login or anything. But I will post the link to that, and that way you can look at. You can also record it. Oh, that's just junk. But cinchcast.com/Matthew Ullman, and you can record by phone, or you can just go out and record by microphone. I could sit and I could record one now. The way you do it is you set up a... You set up a phone number. You put in... It's got a caller ID system. Mine is set up to my mobile. And when you call it up, you can, it'll say, just leave a message. When you're done, hang up. And then you go in on the page and you edit it. You put text, you put whatever you want. So, yeah, it's not, and you can just put in regular text things. You can set your status. So, I like it. I think it's, if somebody played it once, I don't know who. Anyway, that is it for me today. I'm going to play a little thing that I found. And did we put that up on Finally Podcast? The link to Midros? I don't think so. Yeah, I forgot to send the link to what is it? Garland versus the Imps. Garland versus the Imps. It's on Newsground, so hey, that's cool. That'll be what there'll be a link, and this I'm only linking to it because that's where I found the music. It'll load up and you will be given a choice once it finishes loading, which for me it's taken a while for some reason. It'll say go for it. There'll be a little spin-off thing. You click that and it'll say Garland versus the Imps. The Imp is the little brown thing on the side. You click that and that's where this the first part of this music came from. It's Danny Elfman. It's the main title theme from Hot to Trot, and it is such a good chase theme. I don't know why nobody ever hasn't used it for a chase scene, but God, it's perfect. And they do the, you know, the Scooby-Doo where Looney Tunes or whoever did it first thing, where they go in the door, and there's a whole row of doors. They'll go in one, they'll cut out the other, and one will be up and one will be down. It's cute. So that's it. I'll talk to you next Monday. I will do a show, and after that, I'm not sure. It'll probably just be little things. Depends on my connection. But sit back and enjoy. This is Danny Elfman, Hot to Trot. The main titles start off, and then shifts to a song called Wandering Dawn, which is also played in this as... I can't pause it. I'll show it after I've seen it before. It's going to be fun. It's what they use in the credits. So go ahead, listen. I'll talk to you next week, and hopefully we'll have some problems solved. I don't bet that Pulse Radio will be run, but you never know. Weirder things have happened.
night out there, isn't it, boys and girls? I haven't seen a night quite like this in 100 years. In fact, this is no night to be inside. Let's turn off our radios.